God's word for you. Daniel chapter 5, verse 1. King Belshazzar made a huge banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. When was Belshazzar a king? Well, in one sense, he never quite got to be king. He was crown prince, or heir apparent, or regent for his father, whose name was Nabonidus. Now, don't confuse Belshazzar's name with Daniel's Babylonian name, Belteshazzar. If you really get confused between these two names, think of the T in Daniel's Belteshazzar name as a, well, think of the T as a cross Daniel wore around his neck to show his faith. Now, that's completely anachronistic, wrong for the time, but it might help you if you struggle. So, Belshazzar was Nebuchadnezzar's grandson through the great king's daughter, who was the wife of Nabonidus. Do you follow the line? Father to daughter to grandson. Now, the king, Nabonidus, was a worshiper of the moon god of Babylon. And when the priests of Marduk got the people stirred up in a religious revolution, Nabonidus, left and spent most of his reign away, in a city in Arabia. And the first year of that exile, or extended vacation, or whatever it was 553 BC. So it seems as if we should reckon his son Belshazzar is regent, or, quote, king, unquote, from that year. And therefore, the incident in Daniel 7, which happened in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, that's Daniel 7, verse 1, happened 14 years before the events of the chapter we're in now. So the chronology of the kings of Babylon from Nebuchadnezzar onward is this. From 605 to 562, Nebuchadnezzar, or Nebuchadnezzar II was actually his title, reigned. Then, from 562 to 560, just about 2 years, was his son, Evil Merodach. We've already talked about him. Then there was a man who's not in the Bible, from 560 to 556, about 4 years, named Nergal-Sharezer. And then, for 3 months only, in 556, another man, a son, I believe, of Nebuchadnezzar, called Labashi Marduk. And then this son-in-law of Marduk, Nabonidus, who was king from 556 to 539. But most of it, he was out of the country. So then from 553 to 539, his regent was this man, Belshazzar. Now, from here, a couple of other dates in Daniel can be calculated because they go according to Belshazzar's time as, I'll say, regent or king with quotes around it. So, in 553 was Daniel's dream of the four beasts that we're going to read about in Daniel 7. In 550 was Daniel's vision of the ram and goat that we're going to read about in Daniel 8. In 539 is this chapter when Belshazzar is going to see the handwriting on the wall. And that year, Babylon is captured by the... Actually, that day, that very night, Babylon is captured by the Persians, and Belshazzar will be killed in the last two verses of this chapter. Now, while historical records do not confirm the scriptures, actually, the scriptures confirm the historical records, we can gain a feeling of context by such records. So, in 539... Nabonidus returned from his time away shortly before the kingdom fell, and the commander of the Persian army killed Belshazzar and exiled Nabonidus. And this happened in October of that year, the same night that the handwriting appeared on the wall of the king's palace. And it happens to be October as I record this, in our century. Well, of course, you know that. Why did Belshazzar throw this big party? Well, the celebration was, according to Xenophon, a time of high festival in Babylon, when the citizens drank and make merry the whole night long. So it was a typical party. Belshazzar wanted to make a big impression, probably because his father was getting old. He was in his late 70s or early 80s by this time, and he expected to become king any day now, although the hand of God decreed that his father would outlive him, but neither of them would remain on the throne after this night. So the prince had collected 1,000 nobles, friends and family and other people he wanted to impress or influence, and they did what everyone did at this celebration. They drank themselves drunk in an all-night bash. This passage shows us the context for what God was about to do to this king and to his kingdom. God does not act at random or without thought. He chose this particular night because it was going to be the ideal moment to take Babylon away from this dynasty and hand it to the Persians. For the Persians, under Cyrus, would be inclined to send God's people, the Jews, back to the land of Judea. And the Lord himself had inspired Jeremiah the prophet, to report that this would take place after they had been in captivity for 70 years. That time was fast approaching. Therefore, we have law and gospel proclaimed here in this chapter and in this verse. The gospel was the rescue of God's people through these events. God was working out this rescue in order to prefigure or foreshadow the greater rescue of all mankind through the crucifixion of Jesus Christ for our sins. And God was proclaiming the law by bringing down this pagan government and dynasty on account of their devotion to idols, despite his many warnings to Nebuchadnezzar and his descendants through Daniel and his companions. God explained to his prophet what the power of his holy word can do. He gave his word to his prophet and said, "Look, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." It's Jeremiah 1:10. The word of God is powerful, and the word of God is the means of grace by which he plants faith, saves, rescues, and forgives. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith, and this is God's word for you. Thank you for letting me do this.